you so much, young lady. That was a blessing for us. Amen? I'm glad you're here. Glad to see you on this holiday weekend. Just want to remind you that next week is a big day for us, Military Appreciation Day. And that is going to be just so much fun. Supposed to be potluck afterwards, that meal. So we'll talk about that a little at the end of our service here. You ready? Are you prayed up? Have you prepared yourself today to get what God wants for us to have? I hope you have. Because He's got truth for us. Amen? Glad to have my friend Tony with us today. Love Tony. He is a wonderful friend. I've known him for 110 years now. And he's a wonderful friend, wonderful preacher and teacher and singer. He's a wonderful, wonderful singer. He loves to sing like a canary. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of John, is where we're going to be. You know, we Baptists, we love to eat, don't we? So today we're going to be talking about eating a little bit, all right? And I'm not going to tell you anything about, you know, being a glutton, but I'm talking about something that we really, really need to eat if we have eternal life. Amen? I am so thankful that He saw fit to call me. I don't know why He did. I'm so thankful that He called you. I don't know why He did. I guess in reality, maybe I do. Because He wants to show us the goodness of His grace in His Son, Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven, it won't be nothing about us. It'll be about Him. It'll be how He has paid the ultimate price that we could not pay if we tried it all of our life. Always falling short. Can you just imagine you doing all that you can, being perfect in everything that man says we need to be, but yet fall short? Well, I'll tell you, there's some food we need to eat. And if we're not eating of that food, we're missing the mark. Not just falling short, we are falling for ourselves. So in John chapter 6 is where we're going to be. If you'll stand for just a moment. Beginning reading. Now remember, this word was inspired by God, written down by John as he was anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. So let's look. John chapter 6, verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came and near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boat. I just lost my place. And so the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples. They themselves got into the boat and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly." Now, when he says truly, truly, that's something he really wants us to hear. Now, he was wanting these guys to really listen to what he was about to say. "I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Isn't it funny how we can ask God for something and he gives it to us, and then we try to make something else out of it? They ask for signs. He gives them a sign, and they just look a buffet. They saw a buffet. Something completely different than what he intended. Said, "Truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the work of God? Jesus answered them and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it was written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you that it was not Moses that gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whosoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whosoever believes in me shall never thirst. Father, we love you. We are thankful for your word. I pray you'd open our hearts that now that we might see exactly what you have for us to understand. We do know that we try everything we can to please you. And the only thing that pleases, truly pleases, is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have anything other than that, Lord, we are working for religion. Help us, Lord, to show that love of him in our everyday life. May we walk in the power and the might of the Holy Spirit of God. May you lead us and teach us and show us the way. Lord, I pray today that right now, this very moment, that you'd anoint me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. That every word I say would be spirit-fed and Jesus-led. I pray that I would say exactly what you would have me to say. I pray that you'd hold these lips, that they wouldn't say something that would not be pleasing to you. I pray you'd help me preach the truth. And I pray that that truth would be received by your people. And I pray that as one here lost and undone, that your word would touch that heart and they would come today in the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and by faith believe and today be regenerated, be born again by the Spirit of God. We give this time to you for your glory and your honor. It's nothing that we do that needs praise and honor, but Lord, you are worthy of everything that we have. We give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The bread of life. You know, this morning, I had some bread. I call it bread of life, I guess you would. It came from a restaurant here in town called Hardee's. And in that bread was a steak and some salt and some cheese and some egg. And I ate that thing, man, I tell you what, I'm still full from it. That is sustaining me this morning, all right? But it's sustaining me physically. Physically. Which is all right. We all need physical strength. We all need to eat properly. Well, you can tell I've done that a lot of times. I keep putting on weight. I am down now to listen. I'm under 300 pounds, so thank the Lord for that. But we have to have the bread to eat. But Jesus here, now think about this. How many times has God done something for us? And we didn't see it as a God thing. We saw it as something completely different. I mean, the Jews said, give me a sign. They wanted to see something that would say that, yes, he's the man that I can get this bread from. There's something different about him. So where's the sign that you were going to show? Well, he had done and showed them the sign. My gracious, what all do you have to do to make a Baptist believe something? They had to be, they must have been on the road to Baptisthood. Had to be. But somewhere in our lives, God does things for us. Even things that we pray for and ask for, and we don't see it as a God thing. We see it as just happenstance. Anybody ever done that? I think most of us do that, don't we? We don't see God in a lot of things we do because God is invisible. He don't have flesh and blood like we have. So therefore, he's not seen. But I'm telling you, with the spiritual bread, oh, he's seen vividly. You can see him vividly. You can hear him loudly. You can feel his presence with a touch of you all the time if we eat of that bread. Because we try our best to get to heaven on every way except his way. Now, the world is full of that. Did you know there's more people that does not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, as Lord of all, as the Son of God? There's more people in the world than they are Christians that believe he's not the Son of God. There's more people in the world that believes that he's not the Savior. There's billions of people who don't believe. But Christians, those who name the name of Jesus, should have something they can point at and say, that's him. We should have stories all the time to tell about what God has done for us. Because if you have been a partaker of the bread of life, you are to be a partaker of him every day. It's just not a Sunday morning hour and a half or whatever we do here. It is something that is life-changing, heart-wrenching, life-motivating, heart-pleasing relationship that we have with him. And it's an everyday thing. It's something that we have to experience because we're looking for him. We are looking for him. I tell you, I'm on some medication that keeps me from being so hungry. I mean, thank the Lord it does, or I'd be 500 pounds. But I take some medication that one of the side effects is it don't make you gain like some of the others do. Well, that's good. So it don't take a whole lot to please me now. And I'm just trimming up, man. I'm going to be looking like Eddie before long. Right? I won't be running no basketball court 3 times a week, but I'll at least be nice and slim. That'll be good. But I have to have, if nothing else, I have to have the bread of life. Because if I don't have and partake and eat of the bread of life, I'm telling you, just as my body gets in need, my spirit does too. And I know it sounds crazy to most of us, but there's a greater need for our spiritual feeding than our physical feeding. Because I can tell you, if we're not spiritually feeding ourselves in the Word of God, asking God, show me something here, if we're not searching the Scriptures, we're not being fed. And it's more than just coming on Sunday morning where a preacher stands up and spits and sputters and tries to get some kind of message across. It's what am I receiving from God myself? Am I sitting at his table? Am I eating the bread of life? So see, these people are all confused. God gave them the manna to help sustain them physically. But out of that physical thing that God done, it sustained them also spiritually. So we have to take everything in life. And we have to look at it and see, is this really what God has for me? See, bread really satisfies me. Matter of fact, we bought a loaf of Sara Lee. Ooh, the freshest bread I think we've eaten this year, I believe. I went right away. Once they feel this bread, it's so fresh. I like that fresh bread, don't you? And I eat it all the time. You can tell I do. But the truth of the matter is, my soul longs more for the spiritual things. My soul don't care one thing about the food, whether it's in a Sara Lee or Nature's Own. See, but my spirit is crying out to God, longing for him. You know why? Because we have been separated from him in the garden, and now there's a longing in our heart when we know him that I must have communion with Him. I love coming to church. You guys know that. I love that. But there's something about sitting there, studying, and all of a sudden something jumps out the page at you that you've never seen before. I've been standing up here preaching. All of a sudden, God showed me a golden nugget right there. Oh, there it is. But that's what we need. We need to eat of the bread of life. It's not bread that you set on the table. Jesus is the bread. Jesus said that we must eat of Him or we won't have life. I love that scripture we just read. It said, He's come that if we eat of Him, we have life. We have eternal life. It's that simple. We don't have to do heavy work. We don't have to do certain things. This thing is grace. Just plain grace. Right by itself is grace. It's not works at all. Matter of fact, works will mess it up. Works will actually take us and make me think that I'm doing something great before God. And the truth is, God's doing something great before me. That's the things we have to realize. God is the one doing the work. And I know, man, when we do something that works out really, really good, don't it thrill you? Don't it just, and you think, man, I've done so well here. God, did you see what I've done? I hope you're on my side when I do this. Isn't that the way it goes? We're just so proud of ourselves. But God has something for us. The Bible says, God said to Moses, I am that I am. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am. The same thing that the burning bush shouted to Moses, Jesus says, I am the bread. And if you will eat of me, you will have everlasting life. What does it mean, really? The bread of life, what does it really mean that it is? Well, I got this out of the parent study of the bread of life. All right. Here's what they said. They said the bread of life is the spiritual food needed by man. Without the bread of life, man cannot live spiritually. I think a lot of times we get spiritually weak because we're not eating. We lose our heart. We lose what we think that we should be doing. We lose that because we're not participating in God's stuff. You know, I wish every Christian was focused on one thing, and that is, what can I do to glorify God today? What can I do? Where can I go? What can I say? Where can I serve? Because we serve God by what? Serving other people. If we're not serving other people, we're not serving God. We're serving ourselves. And so we got to step away from that. So let's just look just a moment, if you would. See, because the bread of life is actually a person. It's not a religion. It's not a way of doing things. Like, you know, I like being a Baptist. I've been a Baptist all my life. I like the things we do. We got the greatest mission work in the world. Did you know the North Carolina Baptist men in their ministry of helping during disasters, did you know they're like the number three rated service in our nation? Those guys do a wonderful work. Wonderful work. So I love what we do. I mean, we support them by our giving through the cooperative program, and they fund missionaries. Our missionaries don't have to go and look for someone to support them. We support them. They don't have to go take a recession, come back home, and work for 6 months to raise money. No, they're paid by the convention. That's wonderful. I like that stuff. And here's what I like, is they do not tell you what to do. They can't tell us what to do. Our church is an individual, independent church. We participate in missions through the Southern Baptists, but they don't tell us nothing to do. I mean, if they were, we could just say no. the way it goes. But when Jesus tells us something, we better get up and go. See, he has a personality. Jesus has a great personality, doesn't he? We all need to do that. The bread of life is not a denomination. It's not a system of worship. It's a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone. In verse number 34, he says, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread. I am the bread. If you eat of me, you will have eternal life. All you have to do is believe. Too many people want to work themselves into heaven. Too many people, they tell me this. I've had it told to me a number of times over the years. Pastor, when I get to a certain place, I will trust him. I'm going to give my heart to him when I get this part of my life cleaned up. I said, well, you'll never come. See, Jesus ain't waiting for you to clean up. He's waiting to clean you up. You know? There's one thing about it, guys. We can't clean fish until we get them in the boat. If you ain't cleaning fish if you ain't got them in the boat with you. And that's the same way with believers. We must win them by working under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And as we're sharing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is working in that heart, working in that mind, and he's pulling and tugging them. Where's he doing it? Pulling it to him so they can go to the Father. And when they step into him, they step into eternal life just by believing. That's all. Now, it'd be nice if we had the works that we could show for it. You know, because then maybe others would believe us sometimes. Because sometimes us Christians don't really act like Christians all the time. Sometimes we act ugly. Sometimes we're not very nice. Sometimes we get downright mean. And that shouldn't be in our life. But when we walk in Christ, we all have victory when we walk in him. Proverbs said that there is a way that seems right, but the end there is destruction. I've thought about this a lot. Here's what I think is different. You have a person who is trying their best to do their best, and just like the rest of us, they fail miserably. They never, ever get to the place where they have victory. But when we come to Christ, and we know, now listen, all of y'all are probably the same way. When you come to Christ, you're at a place in your life where you just thought there was no hope for you. You were way out yonder somewhere. You had rejected the thought of God, rejected the thought of even believing. We were out there somewhere in this world, in that lost, blinded, dead position that Adam and Eve gave us. We were a mess. And all of a sudden, he begins to work in our life. That person begin to speak to us, begin to quicken us, begin to move us. That person called the Spirit of God, the Son of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of hope. He comes and he begins to work. I know that now after I come to know him, that for months before I come to him, he was working in my life, and I didn't even know it until I trusted him. And then I could see all those things. You know, like these guys here said, you know, show us a miracle. Well, after you come to know him, you see all those things. And he worked. That person worked in my life, the I am. And he began to feed me and pull me and call me, and he led me right to the cross. I love that part about my experience of literally in my mind seeing the cross of Calvary. I saw it in my mind, and I knew he was dying for me. See, he has a personality, and his personality is perfect. His personality is what we all, every one of us, needs. Every one of us. Jesus is everlasting. I said this Wednesday night. If he is life, and he is, if he's everlasting life, and when we're born again, we are baptized into him, immersed into him, we are hid in him. Now, if that happens to us, and all those things are taking place in our life and in our heart, when we come to Christ, we step into eternal life. He gives that to us because he is eternal life. And when by faith we trust him and believe that he is the Son of God and that he is the one who died and paid the price of our sins that we could not pay, then and only then do we have eternal life. We are all in poor condition most of the time. But we all have one way that we can go, and that's up. This person has a presentation. He is perfectly capable of carrying us to that place. Now listen. When Jesus was on that mountain and feed the folks, the Bible said he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the loaves were small. You know, they just carried like a dinner loaf, maybe like a piece of bread. Might have been a little bigger than that. But he fed 5,000 men and their families. Could have been as much as 15,000 people. Could have been. Could have been less or more, whatever. But the Bible says he fed 5,000 men and their families. Now, all that going on, happening right in front of everybody. And they wondering, where's the miracle? God has given us. I remember my dad asked me one time, he said, son, how much hay did Noah have to put on that ark to feed all those animals for all that length of time? I said, well, Daddy, I don't know. Since I seen the ark, they had room for it if they needed it. I said, I'm sure it took a lot because there was every kind of animal. They said, no, son. He didn't have to take but one piece of straw. That's all he needed. Because God fed 5,000 with 2 fish. God could feed all those animals with 1 piece of straw. I said, Daddy, I ain't never thought about it like that. He said, don't take all that much. God can do anything. When we realize that, that is his presentation. He shows us our need. Did you know that we do not even know we're lost until the Spirit of God reveals that to us? We can't even know him. Listen, I've got, of course, over the years, I've done so many funerals, it's pathetic. And plenty of them happening right now. But I know those guys over there real good. And they tell me this, that a dead person can do nothing. Only what they do with him. He stays the same way he is or her until we change the way they are. He said, matter of fact, we can embalm them and take them over to the corner, set them on their head and lean them over like a ladder, and they will stay there. We will not move. They can't do anything. They don't hear us. They don't communicate. They don't do nothing. That's exactly how we are with God. Until he quickens us and makes us alive, we cannot even know of him. He begins to work in our life, and he gives us a little taste. A little taste of him. And that taste is so good. It's as good as peach cobbler and some vanilla ice cream on top of it. That is good stuff. That's a poor analogy, isn't it? But it's good. That stuff is good. I'll just tell you that. But he presents himself to someone who is dead because he's life. And he loves us so much. He cares about us so much. That he does not want a single one of the people of this earth to perish. He wants all of us to come to the knowledge of him. That personality is just simply his grace showing us favor. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. It's not of works. Well, we'd boast. And that presentation he gives to us is eternal. I'm glad of that. His performance is to carry us through from now, from the moment we're saved, carry us through throughout eternity. And the good thing about this is that Jesus has never lost one and will never lose one. He said, the bread that I give is my flesh. Let me tell you this story, and then I'm going to bring it to you. The children of Israel trusted in God. Well, they didn't act like it, did they? But what they put their trust in was that priest, that high priest. That priest would go once a year, and he'd go into the holy place. And there he'd make a sacrifice of the blood once a year. And Israel was covered. Their sins were covered by the blood that high priest sprinkled upon the Ark of the Covenant. Once a year. The next year rolled around, guess what? He had to go back in there and do the same thing. Next year, had to go back in there and do the same thing because it was temporary. What he done was temporary. He took that innocent lamb that had never sinned against God, never done anything against God, and he presented his blood, and for 1 year it covered them. But us, we're different. Our high priest is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he went into the holy place, not made of hands. He went into the very presence of God. And there he offered his blood, not the blood of an innocent lamb, but his blood. And he offered it to the Father for our forgiveness of sin. One time. Once for all sin. Once. He didn't have to go back the next year. Nor the next. Nor the next. Or will he ever go back? Because he has given eternal life to those who believe. They don't need another sacrifice. From history past to history future, every sin has been covered. Every sin. Here it is, and it pleased the Father. And whenever he died on the cross, you were who he is dying for. You are the one that he entered the holy place and offered his own blood once for the forgiveness of your sins always. You have eternal life. He does not give us nothing temporary. What he does is eternal. I like that about it. I like that. Because listen, I've made enough mistakes in my past to blow everything that there's no way in the world. Now let me ask you this. And then we've done. If one man, Adam, brought sin into this world, for every man. All right, we got that? If Jesus had one that he lost, would that man not bring sin to the whole world? I'm just asking the question. If one man brought it to begin with, can one man bring it again? And if one man could bring it again, who in the world or in heaven would die for our sins? Who? Who would be available for that? Nobody. Nobody. So if he was to lose one, he would lose them all. And if he lost them all, there'd be nobody else to die for our sins. I'm so glad what he does is eternal. I don't understand this. People thinking that they can lose it and regain it and lose it and regain it or lose it and regain it. I don't understand that. He done it once for all people. Once. That's what the Bible says. One time. And he'll never do it again. You know why? Because he's never lost one and he never will lose one. He never has and never will. Not at all. So how about you? Let me tell you what. When you make a mistake, he knows it before you even make it. Matter of fact, he knew it before he even saved you, that you were going to make a mistake. If he don't know everything, he's not God. But since he knows everything we're going to do. So he knew how weak we were going to be, how much we would need for something perfect to be done for us. So he chose the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word dwelt among us, and we didn't believe him. So, where do you stand? If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for our sins, the only way you know that is he's give you a little bit of the bread of life. He give you a little taste of it. And he kept on until you come. He never gives up. Never gives up. Never gives in. But what he does is love you and secures you. For he is the bread of life. Eat of him. Eat of him, and you will be blessed. Father, we